if they made them put air brakes on.
No, they've had air brakes on that.
Yeah, up into the top. And how many wagons altogether would you have? 2,000 or 1,000?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
That wasn't in your field?
I wouldn't know. I don't know. We've all sitting in love all the time.
Yeah.
And had the Hafey used to make the wagons down Newcastle and send them up.
Who was that?
Hafey.
Hafey made them, yeah. And he kept a continual order sort of thing.
Yeah.
They did get knocked around, they did get heaped and derailed and damaged and tossed. And did you ever go into a washery?
I had washeries there.
Where? At Rothbury?
Epa number one. Epa number three, Rothbury. Yes. Yes. Had a washery there. And that.
What was that flotation?
We started the first one as a little, to make them put one in. We were one of the first ever put a washery in the place.
Did you? What year was that then?
Oh. That's something like that.
Would it be in the 40s?
56.
56.
55, 56.
Oh, and you were one of the first. I've often wondered that.
Put trough washery in them to split the waste of fines.
Yeah.
And the light jigsaw part ran all over the pit top.
Yeah.
Because all we had and their money on it. And
yeah.
And finally we got them to put it in and we bought three washery at the same time. Bought one, what Johnson bought one, had here we can, a little one. We bought the big one for Ronda and a jig washer there. Pal.
A jig washer?
Three jig washers, three jigs from the.
What do you call a jig? You mean that's as much as it could wash? Or?
No, it's a jig, worked on the jig principle.
Oh, yeah.
Up
and down.
Up and down.
Yeah.
Jig washers.
Yeah. Were they a brand name or was that just
the
type?
No, that was just the type of it.
Type of it.
Jig washery.
Yeah. And then did you change that?
We kept adding to them then to jigs and plus the heavy media drums and so on.
Yeah. And when did you finish with up at Rothbury? When did you go to Ronda?
Didn't
we always up at the... When did you finish up there? When you retired altogether?
1970 I left.
And you were up there right till the end?
Yes.
There was a Scotch bloke come there, was he, what was his name? Manager, one of those...
Oh,
ones.
Yeah, I think his name.
He'd be after you, but he was...
He was there with me when I was... He was manager there when I left. I was manager of the place, I was superintendent for London.
Yeah.
And he was manager for me at the FL number. There and down at Ronda.
Was Ronda belongs to Miller's company as well? Did he have others down in Newcastle or just one?
Yeah, we had
what?
Kind of think of it. Got the one at, Well, what's the name of the place down that end?
At the
Bushing Stuff? No, the other stuff better than that one.
Oh, yeah? I'm good.
What's the name of the place I had down here?
Bouncy Brim is the same
one
we live.
Walls Inn. Walls Inn.
Bore Howell.
Walls Inn, and then we had the one down at Belmont Covery.
Yeah.
Belmont had it. And the apron of
Yes,
we'll see
on
that. Oh, sorry.
Did Millers always keep involved in it themselves, or did they phase out of it?
No, they kept involved right to finish.
And did you open cut it? You didn't open cut at Millfield, did you?
I hope you have airfield number three.
Airfield number three, yeah, I remember the big opening.
Number six.
Pepper?
Number six.
Number six, yeah, I remember that.
We stripped that one up there.
And how much tonnage did you bring out there? A lot or only just a little?
Oh, fair bit. We kept going for about 12 or 18 months.
Pepper?
Kept going for about 12 or 18 months. The same thing, it was up to the grade went from 1 in 4 to 20 degrees.
That's a big tip. How far out did that tip? Way out at 6?
At number 6 was down to 60 degrees, yeah.
It was about there. Yeah.
We can only take the skim off it, yeah. And wait on it, let the stone come on and clean out again, and fold it up. Held up with.
Now you're making help yourself.
Thanks, man. The timbers in with the cranes for about 20 feet thick, 20 feet long.
Yeah.
And finally they collapsed at the end of that, just to go extend out.
Extend the cut. Who was doing that for you? You did that yourself, or didn't you have these operators, Goods from Cooper, any of those? You did what? Brought your own dozer and
dozer and
trucks,
bay lines, and so on.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a very interesting era, wasn't it, really?
It was a very, very interesting era. It was a dull moment in that place. Never a dull moment. From the time we changed over from skips to mechanisation, we call it.
Yeah.
At airfare number one, we put conveyors and cutters and...
This at Rothbury?
Rothbury.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
So we stripped around on a Friday afternoon. We went right through Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, till Monday morning. Nobody could stay awake and fall asleep. Had to stay off and go to bed. Nobody turned up for work.
What did you do with the skips? Burn them?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you burned them. It was only steel skips.
Yeah.
One steel skip and he's bored in, you see, and they tipped automatically down the bottom.
Yeah.
We didn't have wooden skips in the finish. One horse used to take out a skip with a 3-tonne in it.
3-tonne, was it?
Yeah.
Take it out on
the drop bottom skips.
Yeah,
slide
bottom.
Slide bottom,
oh yeah.
Yeah. You've been dropping there. All loaded with gators, you see.
Yeah. That went from the slide bottom skip on the... How far did you come out in the board? What was the distance?
Up to 25, with horses we went up to about 37 chain. 35, 36 chain.
Yeah, and it was a slide bottom skip and it dropped down into the alligator or into a bin.
Into a bin, over the alligator.
The alligator was underneath that again.
Yeah.
And that ran out then up the main heading.
That went up the main heading into a bin on the top.
Yeah.
It went into the lorries and came into the top.
Did you go all to road later, or was it? Did you stick to the rail in part?
Yeah.
At airfield, Rothbury.
You mean road?
Millers had a lot of road trucks, didn't they?
We put the first road trucks and the first semi-trailer in Australia.
Yeah. Where were you handling that at then? Was that on that field up there?
That's the same place. Yeah.
And where were you? You were carting into to.
From the pits, back to
the little pits, back
pit top,
back to the pit top, and from the pit top it went by rail to Newcastle.
That's right. Yeah,
it never ever went by rail.
No, no.
A lot of it goes by road today, and I just wondered whether you were.
No, we didn't come to that. We only came to that at the time of the big strikes.
Yeah.
We took them down by big trucks to Dixon. It was down here. No, Rhonda's a pit, yeah. What's this place down here we took the coal to?
Rhonda?
Right? No, down here. Morbeth.
Oh,
Morbeth.
Yeah.
Took it down to Morbeth and put them punched down. Took them,
did you? Took
it in a little phase, little tugboat down the river and bailed it out with a grab and put in the to keep it
yeah,
down.
Yeah, what strike was that?
35, 40, something like that. I don't know, 40 something.
In 49 they had a big strike.
Could have been, yeah.
That's when Terence was a baby.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
We wouldn't stop, no, he stopped, we even drove the trucks down and registered.
Yeah.
Right. The police helped us get it down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Lightfoot tells a funny story about seeing that a Packard being driven through Maitland without a driver.
I hadn't heard that.
Tells
but
some very funny stories.
Oh, he's a funny.
That.
He's a
funny. He was well in that.
He was a funny man, Athol. When I was a boy growing up, Athol was my idol. Like, he lived not far from me on Maitland Road, and all his old dad and Ned, they were great fellows. But Athol in particular, he was a footballer. And I used to, hey, can I carry a bag, Mr. Lightfoot? You know, this is the way before. He was only a boy too, when I think back now.
I haven't seen him for a long time.
I started the first Red Blue team I ever had.
Here? Or at Cessnock?
Cessnock.
Did you?
1930.
Yeah, that's 30, that's right.
Original team, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I didn't
started
know you were involved in that. Yeah, that's... Green came along as the coach later on, but...
Bill, by the way...
From Neath.
He worked with us.
Yeah, did he work for you?
No, he played football with us.
Oh, yes, I was going to say he didn't work for you.
They had a great old...
Schoolboat.
Yeah.
They all came up, they had a reunion.
A reunion there.
Not so long ago.
At Cessnock?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Were you at that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't...
Bob Miller came up. He came up in time before he died. 8 months later.
Yeah. I didn't. I was overseas at that when that was on. Unfortunately, I played. I wasn't good enough for the first. But every time that George Watt. Remember George Watt that used to play when McKinnon was there.
McKinnon came after me. Yes.
No, they were later. McKinnon was there in the war years.
That's right.
Well, McKinnon and Dick Johnson and George Watt was the hooker. And when George Watt and those three went away to play for Australia, I played for Cessnock.
You've got your
big chance. That's the only time ever. I played all the reserve football. But I missed out on that. But I didn't realise that you were involved away back in the...
We started the first one off, yeah. We got together with in that little...
Bertie Parsons?
No, a little restaurant there. As you come in, the
White Rose. What around the corner near the post office?
You should come and pass the post office.
Yeah,
yes.
It was right alongside of it.
It was run by
Leif Davis.
Tinkler.
Oh yeah.
Tinkler. Yeah. Tinkler. I think it was Tinkler. Anyhow, Tinkler was in it.
Yeah.
But Tinkler was a fellow that ran in the barbershop.
Yeah.
Barbershop. But the other fellow was a. Anyhow, we got together one day. It was Artie Cunningham, Bob Miller.
Yeah.
And three or four other others were talking about it. Well, we're starting a team up. We said, get a team. We've got a team together.
Weren't you involved with a fellow that ran from the buses or somebody
who
finished up a big race course,
Ryder?
No, he was only on the sideline. But we finally got enough together to get a team together and went down to
Newcastle.
To play them on the paddock at
Portland's
is.
Yeah.
On a paddock there.
Yeah.
We played more police mate than beat them.
Yeah.
Everyone had a shot and we were allowed in the competition.
Yeah. I can remember that. I was only 10 years old, but I can remember it like yesterday.
Well, we went into that and we were playing on Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays and every other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we broke the league and broke an arm and that we had to give up. But no one to fill it up.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm of that era. I was only a boy, but I mean that 30 was they were.
Well, football was inbred in you, apparently.
Yes, because I used to love it. My father hated it. He hated sport. He reckoned you had to work. You know, where's sport going to get you? I didn't know you were involved in the football being. I never knew a word of that. That's something I've learnt today.
Well, he raised a champion son too. Our younger son was, he carried off everything when he was at college, St. Ignatius College. Went to St. John's College University and was ducks of everything and also, sport. Got his blue.
That's good, that's wonderful.
And,
did you go to college too, Bea?
No, I didn't. I was dead on us.
He sent his three sons, but not
me. I was in the team of 152 to nil.
Yeah.
In the competition at Christian Brothers, Balmain. Chuck Fraser was the coach.
Yeah.
Old Chuck Fraser, remember?
I heard of him. I didn't know him.
I played third grade for Balmain. And then I came up here and played first class up here.
When you married, did you live at Rothbury or in Maitland?
Auckland.
You always lived down there. I thought you said you came up here.
We came up here 40 odd years ago.
To where?
Here.
To here, to this house.
We built this. But Terence also, our younger son, was held a New South Wales decathlon.
Did he?
Yes.
He was
very good.
That's a good sport when they do the decathlon. They've got to be involved in so much. Do you ever go to Sydney to see the business at all, or are you right out of it altogether?
I'm a retired hawker, I bought a rifle. From 70, I left it. I was out of the pits.
Oh, yes, but then, yes.
I walked out, I left it, and straight away. Too much intrigue and too much bastard went on behind me back.
Well, I think there's a lot of that goes on in every company. Well,
walked out.
We follow the Americans, don't we?
Truly, it's really dreadful.
It really got about the time Bede left was the time it was all coming in.
Well, I mean,
there was too much. He couldn't take it.
Well, you take just the lining up of J&A Brown. Go way back even into that time, you know. And then it was the J&A Brown Abermain, and then Cessnock Coleridge went into them, and then Coal and Allied was formed, and you know.
Oh, it's got into everything now, even the Woolworths and the big stores like that. It's all there, and even medicine, it's got into them.
But it's intrigue that you're talking about. You don't know who's your friend and who's not when it gets to that stage. I was glad to be out of it because you never knew what side you were on, who you were talking to, whether you were upsetting somebody.
And some of them are very easily upset.
But the mining industry has had some wonderful characters, people like Bede, you know, Athol Lightfoot. Yeah. They were really personalities, weren't they?
Don't forget old Bill Hatcher too. He was a very well-known.
Don't know him. No. I don't know. He's not in my
era.
Arthur Mill. I'm talking about the people, you know, old Tommy Crowder.
And what about
Swinger Hemingway?
Oh, his daughter was on the Exchange, Bede. What was his name?
Matchwood.
No.
Durham.
Dinny Durham.
Merv Harris.
Dinny was manager at Millfield for a while too, wasn't he?
Was he?
4 months, 18 months.
Was he? I didn't know that. Well, Dinny was a mines inspector, wasn't he? Mm. Did he come from the mines inspector to you, or did he go from you to the mines inspector?
From us to the mines inspector.
Oh, yeah. Merv Harris was his nephew.
He's on five quid a week.
Merv's nephew, we know.
Yeah.
Merv, I didn't know his nephew.
Didn't you know that?
Well, I knew that.
He lived, Merv's mother and father died in Greta very early. I don't know whether they were sick, or I'm not sure what the circumstances, but they're both buried over in Greta Cemetery.
Oh.
Mm. And Merv then came to live with Dinny Durham and the girls, the Durham girls, yeah. Reenie and...
Winnie.
Yeah, Winnie. I knew all them because I
knew
was.
I knew all because I used to go and study with him.
I was a boy up in the hill, and all the Durham girls were, you know, they were top sort. And Merv then went on, like, he married Dossie Ridley, who was another lovely girl.
Lovely person.
Jeannie Drinkwater was another one. Jeannie Seaward?
Oh, yeah, we remember that.
Well, Jeannie Drinkwater.
They all
lived in the one street, would you believe?
Yeah.
All the Durham girls, Jeannie Drinkwater and Jeannie Dossie Ridley, all lived in the one area.
Yeah.
I used to walk up and down that street like mad. That's going back a lot of years. They used to play Vigoro too, and the Bluebells and all that up in that area. But all those fellows, now Billy Seward's father was involved out in Hebbins, and then Bill went on from there. But they're all they're a little older than me. Merv's a few years older, and Bill's a bit older. But their wives are just my bracket, my age, Dossie and all my age.
Last time we saw Merv's wife, she was driving a great big Mercedes, cursing it like mad.
Merv made a lot of money, terrible lot of money.
Yeah, he did very well.
He was partners with Tommy Cooper.
Okay.
Yeah. When Tom came to Cessnock, I was working in the goods shed at the railway, and he came in old overalls, and he had this old second-hand dozer that had come from Tuck Bryant in Melbourne, and the old station master, old Jack Huxley. Were you there when old Jack Huxley was the station master?
Really,
he was a Welshman. And he said, "Don't you let him take that," he said, "until he puts his money in." Would come to pay.
They all started very humbly, didn't they?
Oh, well, Tom Cooper did, and Alf Goodson. Yeah, Alf was a lovely man. Alf, they lived near me. Later on, I lived up on top of Bridges Hill, up in Cessnock, and up above the lights. But Tom Cooper, that day when he came, you know, he went up. I told him this. And Tom went up to the bank, the Commonwealth Bank, to open a check account. He went into the Commonwealth, and they wouldn't serve him because he was dirty and overalls, and he had the arse out of his overalls. Literally, I'm not joking. And they wouldn't serve him, so he worked out that, and he went to the bank next door, which was the Commercial then, in those days. Okay. The New South Wales there now, but in those days, they were the two that were thinking. Mm. And he opened his account, and I've been with Tom lots and lots of times, when people have come and asked him to go back to the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
He says, oh, no, I'll think about it. Yeah. But he told me himself he'd never go back because they didn't turn him down, they just wouldn't serve him. He waited and waited and waited and finally went into the other one. That's gospel. But he reckoned they didn't actually turn him down. That wasn't what happened. But I had two sons that went to work in the Commonwealth Bank and I told them that lesson always. Serve whoever there. You never know when he's going to be a millionaire. He's a great fellow, but Tommy Kew. And Alf too. Alf Goodson was a wonderful. When I was station master at Caledonia, they were living in Caledonian Colliery, wanted them to do that open cut, and they gave them accommodation in the mining houses at Aberdare. Yeah. And they had a deaf and dumb boy, Mrs. Goodson, and she used to have to go to Sydney every week, I think, or every fortnight, to take him down for lessons. And I always put it on the train, and sometimes she'd forget to tell me to book it, you know. Mm. And I'd double book her, anything. It was good. And I think back on the things that I used to do. But they were nice people. Yeah. Mm. Old Alf was the salt of the earth.
It was a much easier going existence, yeah, wasn't it, in those
but
days?
But it's got hard now.
Oh, it's just terrible now. You can't get anybody to do a little favour for you or
chuck it out of your new one. Yeah. Nothing repaired anymore. Sorry, I won't get another one, mate. Not worth it.
A lot of waste in the mines, wasn't there? Shocking waste. I don't know about it, the millfields or the
millers.
Did you recover props in that down below?
Yeah, we recovered a bit.
Timbers?
Everything.
Did you?
We had nothing. The budget was nothing.
Yeah.
You had to run on a shoestring.
Yes,
the first time I put that little
Lightfoot always tells a funny story of R.W. coming up once and he threw a pack of cigarettes on the desk and they opened up some cheese and stuff and they had some cheese and biscuits. And he came up about 6 months later and wanted to know if there was any of them left.
Yeah. Went up and told him I was looking for a cheese and biscuits and especially left a piece of paper.
Was that Rod Miller, was it?
No, Roddick was my Uncle Lee.
His father.
Oh, his father.
Uncle Robert. Uncle Bob.
Both the Miller boys dead, or?
Two of them.
Evan's gone, except Rod. I'd like to see
the
eldest
boy, Robert, has died, yeah, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Roddick got about 7 or 8 years, 10
Miller
years ago.
Died,
just outright retired, wasn't it? For 71.
Yes, I think you're right.
You are
right. There's only Marcus left now, but Marcus was never involved in the coal gang.
No, he was in the
brewery.
Yeah. Mm. It's funny, isn't it, like how many families really were involved, like you're talking about your relationship with the Millers. You go back into the niece, old Teddy Haler, and he was a nephew of Clinton Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you knew that, did you?
Yeah.
And the McKendries. Harry McKendry, John, yeah, McKendry, they're all onto the Jones' side.
There's still a lot of nepotism in Maitland. It's amazing the number of families that are all still here, you know, and still working in the business.
Because this area here, near where you are, where were the first mines here in the 4 Mile Creek area? Here, or were they down further towards Morpeth? You know, way back when they first started coal mining.
I think one of the first ones out here, little
near the
Tireworks.
Was it? I've never been actually able to locate that.
No, they really got snuffed out there.
Right.
In 1930 came up here for coal and out there, I don't know if we can't break the stopping there, was it? When we knew it, we both forget.
Yeah?
He went out like a light, and I went to drag him out. And then his son was out and clean the hospital. We had to clean back.
And was that in that little pit?
Little pit down here, yeah.
Who ran that? Was that Eels?
I couldn't think of the name.
It's asking a lot of people to go back in there unless you're interested.
It probably was the Eels, too.
I don't know.
It was on 4 Mile Creek, I know, but just where? I've
it's
never
on the Morpeth Road. Yeah. You can go out towards Morpeth. It's on the side.
It's only just that I've read the history and know so much about it, or that it's like Professor David proved the seam at the creek at Abermain, they say.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I don't know.
I tell you what, no one knows. But I've nearly located. I'm pretty certain I know where it is. You know where the fan was over at Abermain 1?
No, I can't tell you.
It's over in the little back creek, and that's where I reckon it was over there, right alongside that, because Edwin Pepper, did you ever hear of Ted Pepper?
Yeah,
well, he put a bore down over there, near where David had his work, within 50 yards of where he had his work. Next time I go down to the mines department in Sydney, I'm going to try and find that out. I read that just because everyone talks, they all think it's there at near the subway, you know where Denman Hotel is?
Yes.
They all talk about being there, but that's not the spot at all. I'm pretty certain I know where it is now.
Why was there still coal there?
Well, there's coal there, heaps of coal. Is there coal still in Millfield?
Well, it was a peculiar thing with that. They went down and turned over.
Yeah.
And got very steep, and we went up to Millfield, opened up the tunnels at the North Tunnel, we thought.
Yeah, what? Did that have a different entry altogether?
That had two different entries up there.
Never connected with it?
The electric winders up there, electric.
Electric winders?
Yeah.
And was it connected underground?
No, never connected underground because it was a big rollover at the bottom of the tunnel.
How big a tunnel was that? Was that a
big tunnel?
What?
Navigated.
Huh? No, but how big was the opening? 10 by 12 or?
About that. It wouldn't still be there, I think.
It's not, there's nothing there. No, about a
four-hour
through,
isn't it?
It's
tunnel.
All gone.
There's more tunnel.
Yeah, everything's gone.
Well, shit, all those big.
There's nothing there at all. There's nothing
in the
big. Big bathroom,
oh well, I think most of that's all been knocked over. That's everywhere. They've done that in every pit, everywhere. They've gone, you know. But it's surprising what's gone. I'll tell you, Abermain's level is going back to bush.
It's like Buchanan
out here. Yeah, gone back truly. But I've never been able to find out. And how far did that go down then? That
going down about. Started to level out then.
Yeah.
And run the gate
where were you, there, where were you working towards? You had alligators there too.
We're working east and west.
Yeah.
And it went down about.
What the heading running? Heading running north.
And that bloody tunnel for that cable wouldn't run.
Was it heading running in north?
Yes.
Running north.
The heading's running south.
Oh, the heading runs south.
The tunnel runs north, south. Yeah. East and west.
And was that by mechanisation or by...
Yeah, it was all by...
Mechanisation or contract?
Scraper loaders.
Scraper loaders.
Yeah, right.
And what year did that tunnel go in?
About.
If I get a clue of a year, I can always go look and again in the mines department.
You can probably think of it later.
Did he ever write anything up on his...
No, I don't think you kept diaries when you were at the...
No, I didn't mean a diary. He hasn't wrote a paper at all.
No.
Oh, I had them there, but
old Albert Shaw was writing a history, but I don't think he's ever going to get published.
I think what's
his name?
Thomas, probably.
Oh,
Harry Thomas,
definitely.
Harry,
would
he?
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, but did he do a work? Who has he got family?
Oh, well, that's all gone off. I think
It's hard to get
information. It's a pity. This is what the Heritage and National Trust are trying to do.
Get
them to, it's coming because you read of all these family reunions and people are becoming more...
I know. I've been involved. One of my little interests, I've been grave listening. I went to a meeting in Newcastle and Vine... the head of the Geomology Society in Sydney, the Australian Geomology, asked all the historic societies and all the people that were interested in family trees. And I went because I wasn't the secretary then, but I was involved in the Cessnock Historic, and they couldn't get anyone to go. So when we get there, there's a big meeting, and they're talking about grave listing for people who are doing their family trees.
That's the only history we can get at.
And any of that Mavis Newcomb from here in Maitland somewhere, she said she was doing the Maitland area, and somebody else was doing Raymond Terrace, and somebody, Maureen Saunders, I think her name was doing Raymond Terrace. But they'd done a lot. And this Vine said, is there anybody from Cessnock? Is Wallumbyre Cemetery been grave listed? And nobody'd done anything,
I think my niece has.
But so he said to me, or at least I asked, they said, what about you doing? And I said, all right. So that's how I started involved in that. And I've grave listed. We've got 21 cemeteries within the city of Cessnock.
Really?
21. I still haven't done Cessnock or Curry, but I've done all the rest.
Well, those great big old headstones they used to put on, you couldn't afford to put it on.
Yeah.
They really told the history, but a lot of history. That's the only history we could get.
Well, the last three cemeteries I've done were the two at Brankston and the one at Greeter. Mm. And when I did the Greeter Cemetery, I kept finding, I knew there were graves, but there's no headstone.
No.
So I went back and researched. I found 490 persons buried, their names and dates and years, that haven't got a headstone.
No.
In addition to the headstone. And the same at Brankston.
Mm. Of course, the vandalism is behind a lot of it, but then a lot of them didn't get around to putting headstones.
I tell you another old fellow I talked to, who was the secretary of your lodge or the Miners' Federation up there in the 29, when you'd first got there.
What's your name? He used to come and see me occasionally. What's your name?
Harry. Not Cartwright.
Yeah.
It's an unusual name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a hard case.
Yeah.
But he started walking me up, but...
He's old.
Rubber hose company. Miners rubber company started with that on, did all right. But, I can't think of.
Were you involved much with the unions up there? Did they keep you busy, or did you...
What's the chap that's been on TV lately?
Timmy Cummerford.
Funny little fellow.
Cummerford.
He used to ring up here. About a quarter to seven, the phone would ring, and I'd always answer it. And he'd say, what sort of a mood has been in today? And he said, he used to frighten the hell out of me. I said, he's in a good mood today. Oh, all right, then I'll want to speak to him. And the next thing, they'd get a blast from me.
We caught the unions for a while.
He was going to call in and see.
Our own union there. See, from 19...
You had your own union,
yeah.
Yes. Was that the company formed, or did the men do it?
The men did it themselves.
Yeah.
It was our New South Wales colliery.
Employee.
Workers employed, yeah. New South Wales.
Yeah.
And the federal one. And it kept going through about after we built the sports centre.
Just after Bill Miller's Park.
Was that Miller's land there where the park was?
I bought them, sorry, as in they, yeah, them at 750 acres, Colton Orland.
Did you? Did you mine under there?
No, it was down too far. It was pretty steep, and it was a good coal, used to fire and water. We bought it and gave it the pillars for a
sport area.
Yeah, it was a couple hundred acres anyhow, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a big area.
We raised it and finished to 1.5 pounds of the golf club, and worked in with the council when I left the county. Miller's got some money back out of the money. And he said, no one to get any of it, really. They did the money to deal with the council and got the club and house and the land and that back and had it onto their own area.
That's right, they came up
here. Yeah, what's
your name,
Mark? The Millers
did.
I got them out of it, and the council got the lot control of it.
Yeah.
So that's a city.
That's where they got the sewers in that now, is it?
Oh, that was outside of it.
Was it?
Next door to it, and the swimming pool was outside of it.
Yeah.
The land for the bowling greens and tennis courts and that, and the and the track and so on were all
Millers.
Out, and then that one right out the creek was down to the rock cut.
Was there ever a mine in that area at Brankston?
No, the only one would be Greta.
Windham's or Whitburn?
Whitburn.
Whitburn or New. Oh, there were a heap of mines at Greta.
That's right.
But Windham, R. Windham, he's the son of old George Windham, way back at Owen Dalwood. He had a mine somewhere there that he called...
There was one out towards...
Leckenford.
Towards Elwood, that's right.
Leckenford. Yeah. But I was wondering whether there was any mine ever in Brankston itself or in that area.
No.
When you were there, where did you get your power from? You had your own generator, did you, when you first...
My own generator to start with, yes, in the powerhouse.
At DC.
And they caught fire there during the war.
It what?
Caught fire during the war.
Did it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Burnt the whole bloody lot of that. And only 41, 42, wasn't it?
Yeah. What was that, a Bellis Morgan or...?
Twin Bellis Morgan. One is a standby, a big Bellis Morgan engine there.
Was it?
Yeah.
And was that there when you... Did you buy that from Merriweather?
Yes.
That was
all installed in Merriweather.
And did it supply anywhere, the town, or just...
No,
supplied the colliery.
Colliery
houses?
Yes. Only when it was running on it.
Did it work machines underground, cutting machines in it?
I had one. I don't know. I don't think they ever used a cutter in it. No, they never used a cutter in it.
Did you use a machine?
Used coal cutters in it, yeah.
But you had compressed air?
No, that was it. That's the one too. We had electric coal cutters and down there.
Did you ever get your power from Whitburn? From the powerhouse there?
We did, I think. We got a bit from Whitburn and they took over by the council.
Yeah, the council took
that's
over.
Right, that's right. I think we had hooked up from Whitburn for a while. And then...
Was that when you first went there? Was that connected there to Whitburn?
No, it was connected afterwards. After the fire was on. Only for about 12 months or something. And then we changed overnight to link to AC motors.
Yeah.
And we put the power on from the council.
It came from Brankston, yeah. From the substation.
The substation would be outside in the entrance of the old substation.
But that was direct from the substation of Brankston, wasn't it? Wasn't from another point.
No, I don't think so. We ran the power through them.
Did you run it to each of those little corridors?
Yes, yes.
Power to each of them?
Power.
What, by your own lines or...?
Yes, own lines.
It's so hard to get this information, huh? You've got no idea. Even the power, nobody knows. There's a fellow who lives here somewhere that was telling me about running the power line from Maitland up to... all those areas. He's near. Keen fisherman.
What's his name?
Oh, so nice looking. I'm starting to forget.
Yes, they're nearly all gone.
All the people, that are involved, it's hard even to get what Beach told me today, to know with authenticity what was done, I didn't know that your electricity plant had dropped me, but that's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, we caught fire and put the bloody powerhouse down the bastards.
Did it?
Yeah.
Wasn't good. Were you there in... Oh, you wouldn't be there in the lockout, in the Rothbury riot.
We were going there and we were turfed out of it. We started on tow over there, we had to get out of it.
No, but 29, you weren't there?
29, I was there.
Where?
When the car across to Millfield, and I was in the...
Why was that? How did you come to be associated with this?
The thing was that the pits were on strike.
Yeah, and the railway wasn't working.
On strike, that railway were, you see.
Yeah.
We ran across to Rothby
with
our trucks can because they are...
Whose trucks were they, your own?
No, only 150 familiar there. Anyway, from little ones to big ones. And that's all the coal was collapsed by that midnight, 2 or 3 in the morning. Beat them out and bloody culverts and you kind of... You wonder... I don't know.
And you were at Millfield then?
Yeah, I was up... running, looking at the transport ready.
Yeah.
We had to Maitland. 150 trucks running between Maitland and also at the weekend we ran over to Bosby.
150
trucks? I said, we ran about 40,
50 on the road at one time.
It was, because there wasn't many.
They were big trucks.
110 broken down and 40 running. Yeah.
And is that how you became associated through that with the Merryweathers, or was it the...
Yes, more or less, indirectly, yes.
I've often wondered how the association, always learning a little.
Yes, and we decided to go out of it.
Yes.
And then we said we'd start a small way on that truck. The same idea, so and that started up. Dickie Thomas was the manager.
Yeah.
And Dickie Thomas had a little pit out of... It was out of the hill from the office. And the first one of that type was, he only went down about 6 or 7 boards.
Yeah.
Young Dick, we were working with him. Young Dick, we came as a manager, went to the pit there twice for a while.
Was he the fellow that's up at Port Macquarie somewhere now?
They
Dick.
Did go up
that
way, Tyree.
Yeah, pretty deaf. Yeah. They're all deaf. Most of the boys are deaf.
Seems to be in a red.
And that was the Thomas that was associated early on with the Greeter pitch, wasn't it?
He was associated with Frostbury.
Before that again, he was associated with the Greeter pitch, wasn't he, that Thomas?
No, that wasn't what I think.
Was it? They speak a lot about Thomas and Green, and I didn't know which one it was.
Little Thomas.
That was the old grandfather.
And the priest here, yeah. He was in charge. He lived in the house up on the hill there, didn't he?
We had Azariah Thomas, who was nothing to do with them at all. Mm. He was the East Greeter Company. Mm. But he came from Scotland to take over in... the East Greeter Coal Company very early. It's a terribly interesting thing. It's got me that I'm real keen.
Well, I think all the history up here is very interesting. Mm. The history of Maitland and
Morbus. Oh yes, it's very little has been written, but on this sort of thing it says nothing. Very, very little. Stan Parks, who lives out at Bulwarris, did a good thing with Mines, Wines and People. Him and Jimmy Comerford were involved in that.
Perks is the name of the chap you're trying to think of. Perkins
was the man that was the mines inspector, and he was there at the coal mines. Perkins,
I knew Frank Perkins.
I can't think of it now. It was the... I had a case of Kennedy a few times about it.
That wasn't Parks. No.
Stan Parks is a school teacher, but he was at Millfield. I thought he would be there when you were there, would he? He'd be afterwards.
Alec Wardrop is pretty well known around
there. Yes. It's hard to find people who know. Truly, I'm not joking. Even the people that worked in the mines, the miners themselves. Not that they would know the mechanics of it, but they...
Well, what was the name of the town?